Okay, well, I'm glad to be here. Is this on? Is this on? Working okay? Okay, good. I'm glad to be here. Thank God for this privilege. And 30 years that it's been here. And this is the first time I've spoken at West Branch. So I'm glad to be here. It's an exciting time. Okay, if you got your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You need to take a little time to find that. That's no problem whatsoever. You just take whatever time you need. Okay, let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, please help now as I speak tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to say what you'd have me to say. I pray that it'll be scriptural. I pray that, Lord, you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit's power and help me to teach those things that would be a blessing to us and encourage us. Lord, please have your way tonight in our hearts. We pray in your wonderful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. Now here's the Apostle Paul. By the way, this book of Romans, for some of you younger Christians, is a wonderful book to use in soul winning. We've heard both Brother Bill and Brother Troy talk about winning people to Christ and so on. And I use in a perverted process of this, but one of the great methods in that soul winners use to win people to Christ is out of Romans. It's called the Romans Road. And it's been used to win literally millions of people to Christ. And so anyway, it's a really good book to give the gospel. Here, let me just go over this a little bit. The Apostle Paul, at this point when he wrote this book, had not yet been to Rome. He wanted to go. He said in the first chapter, I had intended to go several times, but I was hindered. You know, something came up and he couldn't make it. Because back in those days, it wasn't just like getting a bus ticket or a plane ticket. You know, it was days, weeks of travel, months maybe, to get from one place to another. And it would take a lot of planning and a lot of money and a lot of organization just to move about. So at any rate, he wanted to go. So what he did is he wrote to the believers at Rome to introduce himself. He actually wrote for two reasons. This book of Romans, as I understand it. He wrote, number one, to introduce himself and to promise them that he was coming and that he would be. He did not found the church in Rome. He did not start the church, but it was already going and he wanted to go visit it. He said, in one verse, he said he wanted to bear fruit. And I love that because I often travel in different countries and different places and I think I'm going to go there and bear some fruit. I really like that. But at any rate, he said, I want to come have some fruit among you. And so he wanted to go to Rome. So he thought, number one, I ought to write and introduce myself and tell people who I am, what I do, what my ministry is, and what I think about things, what my doctrines are, what I push, and so on. The second thing is he wanted to talk about the doctrine of grace. The Apostle Paul really taught a lot on the doctrine of grace. And the reason that was important is because the Jewish folks especially were just coming out of the age of law, the dispensation of law. And that was a dispensation of works. And so he was teaching on grace and he was really attacked for that. And there was a group of Jewish, were they believers? Well, probably some of them were and some of them weren't. That's the way I see that. I don't know. Probably some of you pastors would know better than I would know about that. But at any rate, there was a group of guys called the Judaizers. And what they actually did is they would trot around to these churches, like the church at Rome, and they would trot around sometimes after Paul was in a place like Corinth or Ephesus, and they would try to bring the church back under law. And here's what they would say. Okay, you're saved by grace through faith, but after that, you've got to live under ceremonial law. And they would try to get Gentile men, believers, like you and me, to get circumcised and do many things under the law. And they would try, and through doing all that, they just really hurt Paul's ministry. So second reason he wrote this book was to talk about the doctrine of grace and how important it was. And it's a great book. So what he was saying here, when you get up to go through the first part of Romans, he was saying, you come to Christ by grace through faith. Salvation is by grace. And you've heard both of the men who spoken today have talked about that. And that's how you come to Christ. You don't come to Christ through works. You don't come to Christ through being a good guy. You don't come to Christ because you're a certain denomination. You don't come to Christ because you've gotten baptized or sprinkled or christened or had water slapped on you or whatever. You're not going to heaven because you go to confession or because you do good work. You got good works here and bad works here and your big scale, you know, and you got this little plate on the scale and a little plate over here on the scale, and you've got your bad works, and it goes like this, and so then you start doing good things, you know, you give to the Shriners and all, and you start doing good things. Well, and finally, your good works outweigh your bad works. Wow, boy, I just barely made that. And no, that's not the way it was, see. And so Paul was writing to talk about that. And then he got into this passage right here we're going to read. And we're going to read it just a second. And what this passage says is you don't go to heaven because you do good things. You don't buy a ticket. You're not going because you're a good guy. No, that's all settled through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. See? But because you are a believer, because you are a Christian, because you are a child of God, because you are an ambassador, because you are a royal priest, because of these things, we want to just give all to God, give all to Jesus Christ, give our lives to Him, die to self, and live for Him, and have God take our lives, our pathetic little sorry lives, and use them for His glory. All right, so let's read that. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Now, I'm explaining all this to you, so don't worry. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you know the Lord? Is He your Savior? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? He that hath the Son, that would be Jesus. He that hath the Son has life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Do you have Jesus? Do you have Him as your Savior? If you don't, or if you're not sure, you need to get that settled. This is a great time to get this settled right here at this retreat. This is God brought you here for that reason. And your being here isn't a fluke. Somebody say, hey, why don't you go? We're going to a men's retreat over in Williams, don't you got, well, okay, I've got some time off, I can make it, or whatever. No. That may have been on your side of it, but on God's side of it, He planned it before you were even born for you to be here. I mean, before this West Branch was even here, before my brother Bill, who started West Branch, was even born, God had worked it all out for you to be here. Isn't that amazing? God worked it all out that this day, this time, right now, you would be here and you would come to Christ. So you need to come to Christ. Talk to your pastor that you're with. Talk to your friend that you're with. Talk to somebody who knows, come and talk to me. Or talk to my brother or Troy or somebody else. But get the matter settled right now. You'll never find it easier to do than you will right now at this time. So come to Christ. Then, once you trust Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, you give your life to Him in salvation by faith, right? By faith. We're not going to get to heaven by our works, by our good efforts. We're going to get to heaven by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross is enough to get us to heaven. See? So I say, okay, Lord, I'm a sinner. Hey, we all are, right? We're all scumbags. Come on. And so, okay, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to get heaven. Doesn't that just drive you nuts? All this stuff that everybody deserves. Oh, come on. You deserve a break today. No, that isn't what you deserve. All that stuff, Hey, it's like the boy that came before the judge for stealing watermelons. And the judge saw that the boy was really scared and nervous, and the judge said, "Don't worry, son. I'm going to see to it that you get justice." And the boy said, "I don't want justice, Your Honor. I want mercy." See? And so, hey, I don't want to get what I deserve. I want to get God's mercy. See? So, all right. So, here we are. You've come to Christ. You've accepted Him as your Savior. Now, once you gave your soul to the Lord, your eternity to the Lord in salvation for eternity, that is, if God's lying to you, boy, we're all in real trouble, right? Huh? So we're trusting that the Bible and Jesus, what they said, is going to work for you and me? All right? So I'm trusting, I'm giving my life to the Lord for eternity. I'm giving my soul to the Lord in salvation. I'm trusting that what He says is true, and that if I'll do what He says, I'll go to heaven. By faith, I'm going to do that. Okay? Now, what's next? Well, now that you've given your soul to the Lord, the next thing you give to Him is yourself. See? And that's what this passage says. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, Lord, I'm trusting you for my eternity. Now I'll trust you for my life. I'm not going to trust me. How come, Lord, I'm going to trust you for my eternity, but don't worry, I'll take care of myself in this life. What? All right, you think we can't make an eternity, but we can do just splendid in this life without God's help, without God doing it for us? No, we need His help too in that. So we're saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you me. I'm going to give you who I am and what I am. You can have my body, a living sacrifice. We're still alive, so we're living, but a sacrifice means we are dying to self. We're dying to Pete Rice running the show, Pete Rice running my own life. I want God, by faith, I'm going to trust in God to take my life and give me a better life than I would give myself if I'm in charge of it, okay? So, Lord, you can have me a living sacrifice. So that's what we're going to do. And then he says, I beseech you. The word beseech there is an interesting word. If we want to know what an English word means, we go look it up in an English dictionary. The New Testament here, the book of Romans, was originally written in Greek. So sometimes when you want to look a word up to see what it means in the New Testament, like in the book of Romans, or like this word here, beseech, you can go look it up in a Greek dictionary, in a book that tells you what Greek words mean. And if you go look it up to see what this word means originally in the Greek, it's a very strong word. It means, make sure I get this right, it means to implore. It's really strong, isn't it? Paul says, I'm begging you. It means to beg. Paul says, I'm imploring you guys. You gave your heart to the Lord in salvation, not give him your bodies, give him you. Surrender everything to him. Trust him that he'll do right by you. He did right and you're going to heaven. Now let him do right by you in this life. Let him take your life and do something great with it. I'll give you me, Lord. You can have me. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid that if you give yourself to the Lord, it's going to be miserable and terrible, and it's going to be hard, and you're going to be dirt poor, and you're going to never have any fun, and you got to be a sourpuss. No, come on. Give yourself to the Lord. He can give you a better life than you can give yourself. Trust him in it, see? All right, so I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. Now, the word mercy there, I like to say that grace and mercy are cousins. The word grace and the word mercy, those two words are cousins. Because mercy means, and talking about with in the context of God, mercy means that God, because of his mercies, does not give you and me what we deserve. See, what I deserve is hell. What I deserve is judgment. What I deserve is damnation. I mean, if I be honest, I'm pretty embarrassed about some of the stuff I've done. And I mean, I don't deserve, I haven't earned anything. But I'm going to heaven anyway. See, because of God's mercy. So mercy is when God does not give us what we deserve. Grace is the flip of that coin. Grace is when God does give us what we don't deserve. See? I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve eternal life. I don't enjoy peace and joy and happiness. I don't enjoy any of that. I don't deserve, any of that stuff. But God has given it to me because he loves me. See? So he hasn't given me what I do deserve, and he has given me what I don't deserve. That's grace and mercy. And in this case, Paul uses the word mercies. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So when he says brethren, if you go back to the first chapter, you see that he's not just talking to Jewish people. Sometimes when Paul talking, he says brethren, he's talking to, because he was Jewish, he was talking to the Jewish people. But in this case, he was just talking to believers, Jews and Gentiles. He was talking to the believers that were at Rome, period. No matter who they were, where they came from. You know, you and I have all these different races and what country you're from and what's your ethnic background, and it's on the news all the time and all that stuff. But in the Bible, there's just two, and that's the Jews and the Gentiles. That's it. And he was talking to everybody. So when he uses the word brethren here, he's talking to believers. He's talking to you and me. We're reading this 2,000 years later, but it's still relevant for us. And he's saying, hey, you guys that are believers, I'm begging you, I'm imploring of you, I'm begging that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And so he uses the word mercy, and then he uses the word sacrifice, a living sacrifice. And that means that I'm not going to die physically right now. No, I will eventually die. And it may be soon, it may not. That's all up to God. It doesn't make any difference to me. But I'm living right now, and while I'm alive right here on this earth, God's got a job for me to do. He wants me to give my life to him, not to do what I want, what Pete wants, but what God has for me, so that he can use me for his honor and glory in this life. It's an interesting thing. I can't do what the believers did in the last century because I wasn't here. I can't do what the believers are going to do in the next century, because I won't be there either. Right now is when God has chosen for guys, for you and me to be here. And not only has He chosen for us to be here, He's chosen for us to be where we are, doing what we're doing, with our mental ability and with our gifts. He's got all that planned out ahead of time so that He can use us for His honor and glory. Our job is to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust You in this matter. Let You take my life and use me. I'll die to self. Okay? So we see that. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. What does holy mean? Holy means to be set apart wholly for God's use. Well, when the different instruments were used in the tabernacle or in the temple, they were kind of like christened. They had a little dedication service, and they were considered holy unto God. That means that the priest didn't take them home and use the laver to stir the soup that evening. No, they were set, they were left there at the temple, they were designed